Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and West Virginia is 2-0. They beat the Fighting Camels of Campbell by 8 points, and they are 2-0. Two wins, zero losses. Am I nervous? Weirdly not. I gotta say, the sad season, 2 seasons ago, when West Virginia lost to Monmouth and they lost to Radford, that has taken some of that anxiety of losing by games out of me in a weird way. Like, when they hadn't done it in a while, in like years, then the nerves kind of build up when there's close games in these bye games. The Band-Aid got ripped off with interim head coach Josh Eilert and that squad. So now it's like, if it happens, it happens. I don't have this dread. Is that just me? I'm not explaining away an 8-point win versus a team whose nickname is the Camels, the Fighting Camels. But let me give you, I'm just going to read off a few non-conference schedule results by Ross Hodge in his 2 seasons at North Texas. He's got an 11-point win over, at the time, 260th ranked Nebraska Omaha. It's not even directional Nebraska. It's Nebraska Omaha. There's a 7-point win over NAIA powerhouse Texas Wesleyan. 7-point win. And a 4-point win over 170 at the time, Ken Pom ranked, Appalachia State. He coached many more games. But this is not out of the blue of a Ross Hodge team beating a lower computer-ranked team by a margin that feels like it should be more. What does that mean? I'm just telling you, this is not new. Ross Hodge coached 2 seasons at North Texas, went to the NIT both seasons. It just seems like his style, defense first, is that he's going to lean on that in every game and regardless of the opponent. So that's going to help when they are the underdog and may make those games closer or give them a chance to win. But it's going to work in the opposite direction too in teams where there is a gap between how they're ranked in the computer and their opponent. Like leaning on the defense and doing just enough offensively to get the win. And when you look at the difference in the two offenses tonight, it's not like West Virginia was getting bad shots. They were getting to the rim. They got open looks from the perimeter. But especially the stuff close to the rim is 2 games in a row. I don't think they look tired tonight, but the shots near the rim are still looking tired. A lot of short that of shots that are close to the rim. Lorient was 2 for 8 tonight. All of his misses in the paint. Eagle staff had a pulse, had energy tonight. Shout out to Trayson. He missed a couple of close ones. Jasper missed a couple at the rim. He came back to earth. DJ Thomas, I thought, had a good night. He missed a dunk. West Virginia was getting to the rim and didn't seem like they were finishing. If there was any resistance. Like the ones that they're wide open, they got those to go. For the most part. But any kind of defense, they weren't finishing strong. And you watch the Fighting Camels, especially in that second half, they were backing down various Mountaineers and the shots were going in. They were finishing strong, especially in the second half. And the Camels, the Fighting Camels of Campbell, finished +8 on points in the paint. Now, you look at that result against Wisconsin. They lose by 32, and you say, hey, what gives? That game was very similar to the West Virginia game, for the first 30, 35 minutes. They were playing Wisconsin tight until they didn't. And it just absolutely got off the rails. It didn't go off the rails tonight for the Fighting Camels. They hung in. They never led, but it didn't go off the tracks tonight. And the Camels plus 6 in points off turnovers. I mentioned plus 8 in points in the paint, plus 6 in fast break points, plus 4 in rebounding, plus 5 from the free throw line. These pluses are adding up. They also were plus 2 in buckuses. There were Buckus brothers out there. That one Bucka was giving WVU the business quite a bit. And yet, that doesn't matter. The key of all the plus minuses, and there's plenty, there's plus this, there's minus that. The key, the thing that counts, is plus or minus total points scored. And the Fighting Camels were minus 8 in points scored, which is the thing that counts. And if you looked at anything from the box score, as rough as it looked as far as Campbell getting shots and finishing in the paint, and they got to the free throw line a bunch, the Fighting Camels shot 2 of 14 from 3. And in the year of our Lord 2025, it's hard to win a college basketball game or any basketball game when you only make 2 three-pointers. And so, shout out to West Virginia for holding them to 2 threes. And West Virginia, their experience from the three-point line, much better than game one. They also shot better from the free throw line than they did in game one. And in a close game that West Virginia led from the beginning, it did get tight, and yet Honor Huff made some shots late and finished Campbell off. So lots of plus-minus talk here early. The computers, especially Ken Pomeroy's computer, he takes all the plus-minuses his computer does, and he looks at that plus-8 final result in points scored versus Campbell, and the computer doesn't like that. And West Virginia dropped from, I believe, 69th to 78th in Ken Pomeroy's computer. Because the computer doesn't like an 8-point win against near, 200-ranked Fighting Camels. It does not. But, again, not explaining anything away, not saying it's good, just saying Ross Hodge did this at North Texas. Had multiple examples. What else stood out from this game? As much as Laurent struggled offensively, he had a great defensive night. Had all of West Virginia's 5 blocks and almost had 6. One was called a goaltending. And the Laurent block is different than, think of the guys who are dressed up in Mountaineer uniforms who you know for their prowess in the blocking category. And the main guy you think of is Sagaba Konate. And when he would block a shot, some of them went straight down, but he was a guy who could hit it into the stands, hit it away. It was like it was going away from the basket. It seems like all of Brennan Laurent's blocks is trying to get the ball to go straight down to the court with an extreme amount of force, right? It reminds me, I think of the punching bag arcade game where you can hit the bag and then a number pops up of how hard you hit the bag. I feel like watching Brennan Laurent block a basketball, it feels like he's at the punching bag and he's trying to get a 999, the perfect score, with every block. And I am a big fan of that. I enjoy seeing him try to hit the ball to the court with ferocious speed. And the best part about it is the anticipation. Like, a Laurent block is coming at least like 1 or 2 Mississippis before the block happens. Like, the guy's driving, Laurent's lurking. He knows he's going to time it right. So you see it coming, and that makes it even more fun. And when it happens, it's just like, how hard? Can he block the ball and it hit the floor and then hit the guy in the head? Not that I want anybody injured, but the force is awesome. So the more extremely ferocious Lorient dunks, the better. And we got plenty of those tonight. We're here. It's the holiday shopping season, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. You go to their website, they've got high-quality products, often handmade, lots of it made in the U.S. I go on there, I type in WVU. They got stuff for Mountaineer fans. I got a couple of Mountaineer can-shaped glasses. Rave reviews at the house. People love them. Oh, that's cool. Where can you get that? You can get it at Uncommon Goods. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes changing up your makeup look for fall. From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extension Mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener. Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows from the office to all your favorite fall festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Both of the freshmen look smooth. They look solid. You don't see it in the box score for Jenkins, but he's super quick. You see he can drive the ball. He had a nice kind of post up in the paint and just missed the shot. He's got a gigantic thing on his shoulder. So as far as him belonging on the court, he absolutely does. And it'll be great for him to get more reps because he's going to be needed as part of this rotation to give Jasper Floyd a few minutes of breath. Not a ton, but I can't wait to see him keep improving. DJ Thomas scored 10 points tonight, made a three, big offensive rebound in the second half. He looks for a freshman. And it feels like the learning curve is even bigger for the big guys as far as freshmen. Because, and you could see, defensively, he's being backed down and getting scored over. But offensively, he looks very smooth, very relaxed out there, very comfortable. Yeah, he missed the dunk. But overall, I like what I see from both of the freshmen. Harlan Obioha, way better than night one. It's a long season. And game two, offensively, it looked way better. He had 4 assists. He had field goal attempts. He didn't go 0 for 0 tonight. He was in double-digit scoring. He finished strong, a couple of and-ones opportunities. Yeah, he struggled with foul trouble tonight. Looked a little passive defensively, and I don't know if that's because he was worried about fouling out. But offensively, that's what it can look like. It's kind of the middle of dominating the small people versus Wheeling with love and respect and 0 for 0 against Mount St. Mary's. If we get this offensively, and he had 6 rebounds, which is way better, I like that contribution from Obioha. But we need more defensively. But offensively, I like what I saw. Another guy who had 6 rebounds? Trayson Eaglestaff. Jasper Floyd did not shoot the ball as much tonight. He kind of came back to earth. And so those shots were available. And Trayson Eaglestaff said, I'll take some shots tonight. And so he had the ball more. There was more action run for him. And he's not speedy like Jenkins, but he can get the spots. He made a couple of threes tonight. Did not turn the ball over. He goes from only taking three shots on opening night to leading the team in field goal attempts. So it's two games, two sides of the spectrum. What will we get for the season? Probably somewhere in the middle and maybe closer to what we saw tonight as far as field goal attempts. It's just nice to see that the 0 for 3 is going to be the exception to the rule. And then Honor Huff, the energy is the same. Energy in game one, same energy in game two. The difference is he made more shots tonight. And he was efficient. He didn't shoot a ton. He was 5 for 10 from the field, made 4 threes, would have the fifth made field goal. His foot was on the line. So he tried to make 5 threes. Ended up with 4, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. A lot of those free throws were late to kind of ice the game. He had a 4-point play early in the game. That seems to be a pattern, is that Honor Huff, at least once a game, is going to get fouled shooting a 3-point shot. And he's two games in, he's 16 of 17 from the free throw line. So that is welcome. Please let that happen once a game, because that feels like 3 points. Crazy contested corner three late. Like, he just was, if I get the ball, I'm in motion here and it's going off. And he got the shot off, apparently didn't get fouled, swished it, brought the lead to 8. Very important shot. The energy is contagious. Like, he is, between him and Laurent, as far as the fun scale, it's close. I enjoyed the work of Honor Huff and glad he's in a Mountaineer uniform. So again, 2-0, very good. Another good thing when West Virginia plays a game, regardless of the result, is that's one more game that Chance Moore is closer to playing. So he's only got 3 more games he has to sit. Jackson Fields is getting healthier, so he'll be in the rotation, hopefully sooner than later. That's another thing to think about. How much does that change the result tonight if Chance or Fields plays? I have no clue. I'm really excited to see both of them. We did get to see Chance Moore play against Wheeling, and I absolutely believe he would have made a big difference tonight with how he can drive the ball and his rebounding and his defense. But 2-0 is 2-0. And the computer didn't like the result tonight. I like that West Virginia won the basketball game. And 2 opportunities to win, and they won both. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. The next game for WVU is Sunday. So 3 games in 6 nights. This is a day game, 3 p.m., Hope Coliseum, ESPN+. This time the opponent is the Lehigh Mountain Hawks, the rare brown jersey team. Always nice to see a brown. I think there was hints of brown with Campbell, the Fighting Camels, a little bit of orange there. So a brown team comes to town. Lehigh is 1-1 on the season. Big win over Division III Valley Forge on the night of this recording. Their loss was on opening night. It was to the Terminator team, Houston. They only lost to Houston by 18 on Monday night. They outscored the Houston Cougars in the second half. Was that game ever in doubt? Absolutely not. But they can say, if it was a 20-minute game and it was the second half and Houston was playing the rest of their bench the last few minutes. The numbers, they were plus +3 against Houston in 20 minutes of play. That does not make me concerned about the result on Sunday. I'm just giving you the heads up if your head's scratching and like, why is this only a 12-point game? They hung with Houston for a half. Not the half that counted, but still. They have a guy named Alfredo, which is awesome. Great to see you, first name Alfredo. Lehigh is 289th as of this recording in the Ken Pomeroy computer. So that's we're getting closer to the bottom than the first two teams that WVU has played. So yes, Chance Moore is out and will be out. We still don't know when Jackson Fields is going to be available. He's able to fully practice now, and he's working his way up to where he can play. Will that be against Lehigh? It doesn't seem like it, but who knows? Even with those guys out, if both guys don't play on Sunday, 289th in KenPom should not be a 10-point win. It is time for the Mountaineers to feed the computers some good numbers. I'm not going to panic if it's a 12-point win against Lehigh. And the computers aren't going to panic with WVU. They're just going to say, hey, you're not as good as what you were before this result. If they win by 12 against Lehigh, the computers will not be pleased. And in my opinion, it's time to please the computers. And that's what I'd like to see on Sunday. Will they please the computers? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms. Just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, YouTube. Till next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 2 wins and they have 0 losses.